Like crumbling concrete through an hourglass, so are the days of our budgetary lives. The governor makes an unexpected proposal. Will lawmakers say I do, or is it too good to be true?
Democrats reveal a financial document that suggests things aren't all that they seem.
Robin Voss is patiently waiting, but will his Senate colleagues come through before his autumn wedding?
This week's episode is brought to you by the stain fighting power and fresh scent of the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White. What happens next? Find out after the break.
So to be clear, I guess this stuff is important. The budget affects people in Wisconsin. But for most people out there, probably over the course of the week, not much has changed in terms of how we're going to fund our roads. But for people like us who it's our job to watch this stuff and follow it closely, it kind of feels like a soap opera. You guys want to go over real quick all of the twists and plot turns that happened this week in Wisconsin's budget drama?
It did feel like a lot, but yeah, at the end of the week, you look at where things stand, and it's like they're pretty much where they were on Monday's episode. Come Friday's episode, it's like we've moved very little in the plot line.
And yet we're still like all wrapped watching our stories.
I know. Well, it's like these little things happen and we're like, oh my God, no way. Yeah. But it's clear how sad our small our lives are. We're like, the governor released a memo. Drop everything.
Yeah. It had 3 points.
Whoa! 3 points.
Yeah.
What's Fitzgerald gonna say?
Yeah.
You know.
He's gonna say he's all ears. Isn't that what he said? Yeah.
All ears.
Yeah. We've moved on to friendly budget talk this week, but
yes,
they're similarly very far apart. So I guess we could probably start, well, though not chronological. Mm-hmm. We should probably start with the governor's proposal this week because that was the biggest thing that was introduced. And when you look at his proposal, it got a lot of attention because he's the governor and he offered to change his budget a little bit, which governors don't often do. So that seems like movement, right? But it was basically a 3-part proposal. One, don't raise taxes and fees. Hey, wait.
So not quite so new.
I've heard that before. Come on. You're just adding an extra point there, governor, you know? Two, he said I'm going to reduce borrowing by $200 million from the, yeah, so he proposed $500 million in his budget. He's saying we could bring that down to $300 million. And that's a win for Assembly Republicans who want to reduce borrowing. And then the other part of his plan was more federal money, basically.
You had to think about it for a second. Yeah. You're like, and don't cut taxes.
How do I phrase that?
Don't raise taxes. Don't cut taxes. The opposite of that. Swap that, reverse.
Yeah, I mean, he was talking about leveraging more federal money. But boy, that one is the trickiest one. And we'll get to that, I think, in a minute, right?
A super exciting one.
So on Wednesday, he sends a letter with these 3 points to the leadership of both chambers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess they mull it. And then Thursday, the AP gets a copy of that letter.
Can I just say that WPR had the governor on the 4th of July saying,
true.
I'm going to reduce borrowing to $300 million. He said it like at a 4th of July parade to a few reporters who were there.
But it wasn't in an official letter.
It wasn't in a memo. Yes, I know. And he didn't have that point about not raising taxes in there. So it wasn't yet official. And he didn't have the point about asking for more federal money. So I gotcha. I gotcha. It wasn't real till the memo came out.
Exactly.
Once you get a PDF.
Well, no, wait. It's the letter.
Letter.
And then
right,
the memo is,
that's
subsequent,
coming up.
Right?
Coming
don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil the soap opera.
And so at first, after the media gets wind of this letter and this like new development in the plan, then you have you get reactions from Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald saying, well, it shows some movement. You know, we're on board. You know, maybe we can move forward and come to some agreement. But then...
You have to pick apart the pieces of the plan.
I wish that John's expectant face could, like, transfer over. He went, and like mouth open, looks between me and Sean, like, who's going to tell the thing?
I think John's secretly into soap operas, and we're just finding this out.
I'm not, but I feel like I should be now. I kind of want to, like, go back and start watching classic soap operas.
Did you ever watch a soap opera, like, for a little bit?
No. I watched Nashville, the TV show, the new one, which I heard was a lot like the classic soap operas, you know, like people dying and whose baby is whose and, you know, that kind of thing.
I will admit, when I was a kid and there were some summer days when I made it through the morning cartoons or whatever, and, you know, I'm still lazy and I wanted to watch more TV, and I would watch a soap opera sometimes. And, you know, it's horrible.
And then I'd pick it up. Child viewing.
Then I'd have another one of those days, like a week or so later, and I'd be like, "You guys are still in the same room, like you're still having the same conversation, like you're still having
familiar.
You're still having breakfast, guys. You know, I left you 2 weeks ago, and so that is sort of what happened here, I think. Well, let's talk about the borrowing thing that the governor proposed, because he framed that this whole letter is, this is a win for Assembly Republicans. This is a win for Senate Republicans.
And like the first headline was, you know, governor comes down $200 million mm-hmm. in bonding. But then also keep going.
I think it's kind of, okay, so Assembly Republicans' position is not just we need to borrow less. They want to build. Those guys want to build some roads and reduce debt service, right? Reduce mm-hmm. the reliance on borrowing, but they still want to build roads. And that doesn't get talked about as much as what, you know, when they talk about we have too much debt, mm-hmm. we need a long-term solution, but they want to build. So when the governor is saying, let's reduce borrowing by $200 million and we'll make up the difference, we'll still build as many roads.
Through some like administrative tools.
Yeah, we've got savings here, and we'll bring in some federal money. But if you're reducing $200 million in bonding, you're reducing $200 million in spending potentially. And so I think, you know, Assembly Republicans look at that and say, hey, wait, that's not exactly what we meant. You know?
Wait, stop.
Yeah.
So how does the federal funding part of this work? Because that part of the governor's proposal was basically we're going to get 10 times as much federal money in the next budget cycle than we've gotten in previous years, and we're going to use that for building roads. What are those numbers exactly, and how does that work? Can suddenly the state of Wisconsin just request more money and it just shows up?
Okay, so...
Two-part question.
I guess I would qualify this answer here. We don't know for sure that this is the federal money that the Walker administration is talking about. We don't absolutely know that this is where they're looking at it. There has been talk in the Trump administration of a big infrastructure plan. There are Wisconsin people high up in federal government. But this memo that Democratic Representative Gordon Hintz requested from the legislature's budget office said that Wisconsin's Department of Transportation, Governor Walker's Department of Transportation, is planning to ask for $341 million in redistribution aid, which is every year the Federal Highway Administration redistributes states' unused federal obligation authority, which is the amount of state highway aid available in any given federal fiscal year. So they've got it's the leftover pot of money.
Yeah.
One way of putting it. And it gets redistributed to the states. States can ask for a certain amount. Wisconsin has asked for a lot in recent years, but it usually gets $33.7 million on average. And the governor's saying, the DOT is saying this year, well, we would like to get $341 million, actually. You know, 10 times the usual amount, please, right over here.
So Wisconsin has asked for more than the $33 million that they've gotten in the past, but they've only gotten $33. So we've asked for more than we've gotten in the past.
For example, in 2012, Wisconsin requested $137 million. They got about 30. In 2013, they asked for $155 million. They got about 33.
I feel like you're almost underselling the drama here,
of the
federal funding angle,
mm-hmm.
because Walker's letter says, you know, we're going to do a few things, including some, you know, federal money to leverage additional borrowing or something, whatever. And nobody really picked up on that at first until Gordon Hintz said, hey, look, I have this memo, and here it says the DOT is asking for 10 times what we usually get. Is this what you're talking about, Governor? That's crazy, because you don't want federal money for Medicaid or for other things, but you're asking for this huge pot of money for transportation? This is crazy.
Yeah, that's the other piece of this. Mm-hmm. It's federal money, which when it comes to like Obamacare money, that's dirty money, right? In the eyes of the Walker administration.
Well, and, even for transportation in the past. I mean, he rejected the federal money for trains.
He did. He rejected a lot of federal money for the high-speed rail line. And there was an argument that, like, look, it doesn't matter if it's federal money. That's taxpayer money. You pay taxes and, you know, it's wasteful. So we're not going to take it. But when it comes to roads, different story. If it comes to solving this problem that doesn't seem like it's going to go away immediately, federal money is suddenly the answer.
And I sort of like how there's this reveal, too, at first, like leadership, especially Robin Voss and Fitz are saying, you know, it seems like there's movement here, but then there's this this reveal of 10 times more federal money, and then they're like, well, we don't know the details about that. It seemed like throughout the day they got sort of less bullish almost on the governor's plan.
Yeah, and the Hintz memo, by the way, he requested that on June 28th, so some skillful budget asking there by Assembly Democrats. I think... You know, we talked about how this maybe is sold as a package for Assembly Republicans, but it ain't exactly what they want, mm-hmm. right? No revenue, like a hard line, like no new revenue,
yep.
which you guys want, and we're going to spend less money on roads that you guys want to build. How about Senate Republicans? Because Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald has said Senate Republicans want to borrow. He had said they want to borrow not $500 million. They want to borrow $850 million. Because they want to make sure that these major highway projects are on track. It's been a long time since we've rebuilt some of these interstates, and it's got to happen. This is something that Senate Republicans want. Southeast Wisconsin Republicans want to expand some highways down there. They don't want to just have these things keep getting put off. So what do they think about Walker saying, actually, we're not going to borrow $850 million. We're going to knock it down to $300 million. How do you like it, guys?
I think there wasn't their reaction, like their only movement after the governor's plan, that they pushed their $850 million down to $750
they
million?
They did, yeah. So that...
Yeah,
so
they're like, well, we're still asking for this much bonding, which is like almost still twice as much as what the governor's...
And by the way, our really firm position is no taxes or fees. So Assembly Republicans, hope you enjoy our position.
We went down $100 million. You're welcome. Oh, I was going to say, remember like that sweet time last week when we thought there was like a revenue option, the heavy truck fee?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? That yeah. Seems like months ago.
Yeah, that didn't happen, did it?
It did not happen.
No.
It's like not even being discussed anymore. Like, no, it was not in the governor's memo in any way, shape or form, allusion or anything like...
Yeah,
think
I don't know if we...
Gone.
Do you think those business groups are going to actually come back on Monday now with their own master plan about...
This is another... dramatic budget development this week that's not actually a development. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss sent a memo to these 17 businesses and business groups that helped kill this heavy trucking fee. So just to backtrack a little bit, Amy Loudenbeck, a Republican from Clinton, whose district is very aware and she is very supportive of this I-3990 expansion. So she's got a stake in all this, wants to keep it going. She proposed this new mileage base fee on heavy trucks weighing more than 8,000 pounds. These trucks can go on up to 80,000 pounds on Wisconsin's interstates. And the more they drive, the more they pay. And they do the most damage to Wisconsin roads. So it's kind of a, you know, an apt place to try a mileage based fee. So Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, had said, this might be a piece of the budget picture in the end. And these groups came out, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, Motor Carriers Association, Schneider Trucking, Walmart. They all came out and said, this would be crushing. Do not do this. And soon after, five Senate Republicans said, we're not going to do this. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald can't lose five Republican votes and still pass a budget without Democratic help.
And so then Robin Voss sent this letter
to the same groups and
yeah,
said,
opposed it.
Dear groups, thank you for acknowledging we need revenue to support our highways. Please submit a plan to me by Monday.
Yes. I think the deadline was the best part. It was like, thank you so much for contributing to our debate about the state transportation budget. I would love to see your ideas. In fact, the entire plan. Please have it to me by Monday.
Yeah, very, very overtly going after the same groups that killed his trucking fee.
Speaking of counterpunches and punches and or counter denials or admissions, back to the federal money thing. After the memo comes out and it looks like, oh my God, 10 times more borrowing, then the governor's office is like, we didn't say that necessarily. Uh-huh. We might be saying that or we might not be saying that, you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's exactly what happened. and it just shows, like, the movement is just, it's all an illusion. Who are we? Why are we here? What is a budget?
Because the governor put this proposal on the table and leaders are both saying, well, it's good to see, you know, we're negotiating, we're all ears. I actually wonder this week if they're farther from reaching a deal than they were the week before. You know, that his proposal is actually farther from what Assembly Republicans want and farther from what Senate Republicans want. I just wonder if things aren't even worse than they were before.
He did say, Fitzgerald said yesterday, that they are pretty much done with the K-12 budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we could see some budget committee action next week, if only just on K-12 education funding in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Because
it sounds like they're agreed on that.
There's also the chance that we haven't discussed that Democrats could become relevant in this transportation budget if Republicans are so at odds on this.
No, wouldn't that be a dramatic plot twist?
That would be a dramatic plot twist, actually.
It would be.
Because we haven't seen
when
that.
When your enemy becomes your friend.
Yeah, that's right.
Dun, 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 dun.
They didn't know that they would need each other, but now they do. Can they overcome their bitter past? So, these are the days of our lives. And they will continue.
Tune in next week when a new memo is released.
What will it say? What are its fiscal implications?
Will the Joint Committee on Finance meet or won't it?
Find out on the days of our budgetary lives. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Next week, a mysterious chapter from Sean's past resurfaces. Meanwhile, Laurel receives some unexpected news, but is it what she was hoping for? Find out when you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can also rate and review it there. It's also available on Google Play and a bunch of other pod-catching apps, and of course, you can find all of our past drama at wpr.org/politics.